God be with you.
And also with you.
On this Sunday, we listen to a reading of the Gospel, the good news that comes to us from Luke, who tells us that Jesus, in teaching the crowds, spoke to them a parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Chop it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And the gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We welcome all of you, and thank you for honoring us by joining us as we celebrate this Lenten journey. For you to chew on this morning, a Lenten riddle. What is the world's oldest profession and today's most popular hobby? Say, "The envelope, please." And the answer is, being a gardener. And you say, "The oldest?" Yes, old Jehovah, the Lord God, was a gardener. He first thing he did was make a garden. Eden, and invited the first humans, Adam and Eve, to join him in the work of gardening. Another name for heaven is paradise. It's a Persian word that means the gardens of the kings of Persia. And we rejoice today in the good news. Not the good news according to Luke, but the good news according to Gurney's. Gurney's, America's most complete seed and nursing company. These very beautiful, feast for the eyes catalogs come in our mailboxes in mid-Lent, with all sorts of wonderful pictures of vegetables, flowers, fruit. It's a feast for the eyes, for all lovers of gardening and for all the sleeping farmers in each of us. Even if you don't have a garden, don't throw them away when you get them, because they're wonderful Lenten Gospels. You say, "Lenten Gospels, what does gardening have to do with religion or with Lent or our journeys home to God?" Well, gardens began with religion. The pyramids, the temples of Egypt all had their gardens. In China, there were the sacred gardens, the groves of trees. And in Greece, potted plants in clay pots were small shrines. They were shrines to the god Adonis, who was the god of green growing things. St. Patrick's Day, which falls in the midst of Lent, is more about planting than parading. Because, as we know, St. Patrick's Day is the day to plant potatoes. Those wonderful Irish improved butte, or down here, the Irish cobbler. It's the gospel truth out of Gurney's Gospel. Carolyn Wells wrote, "I don't believe the half I hear, nor the quarter of what I see, but I have one faith, sublime and true, that nothing can shake or slay. Each spring, I firmly believe anew all the seed catalogs say." This week's Lenten springtime scripture gardener's catalog begins with Moses coming upon an old dried up bush in the desert, and the bush leaps into flames and it becomes a talking bush of God's presence. In Gurney's Gospel, they have a burning bush. It says 4 to 6 foot hedge turns crimson. And the Gospel of Gurney said, "A traffic-stopping shade of scarlet." Well, it certainly stopped old Moses in his tracks. And Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians that Scripture, like most products today, carries a warning label. When he said, it has been written as a warning to us. And just as we heed all health warnings, we should heed the warnings that were listed in Scripture. Because most people spend this life like they have another one in the bank. Let begins with the truth. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. This is it. You don't have another life in the bank. So Lent calls us to reflect on that childhood rhyme, Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? How does our garden grow? Let us look at our garden, the garden of our life, the garden of our soul. This year we've been reflecting on a new name for Lent, a hobo honeymoon. And we add today, springtime hobo honeymoon. We know that Lent is an Anglo-Saxon word that means spring. 40 days, springtime, holiday, second honeymoon. Only now it's down to 26 days. To care for the garden of our soul, our lover's garden. Lent's a green thumb season for all ho girls and ho boys. We've reflected that hobo is a term that came out of the post-Civil War days. It comes from a contraction, the first two letters of two words, homeward bound, put together. They were homeward bound Civil War veterans who would work at odd jobs, but they were on their way home. Scholars also think that maybe hobo comes from the word ho boys, farmers' sons who got tired of living on the farm and got on the road and were willing to do odd jobs as they were looking for something else to do. Today, it's not just ho boys, it's ho girls, men and women. Jesus tells a parable for hobos, but really, it was for the religious institution of his day. It's one of his insulting, humorous stories, and it's a gem that must have caused his audience to roar with laughter. Let's just put some manure on the clergy and then see if they become. In the parable, the owner of the vineyard wants to have the tree chopped down. It's using up precious soil and moisture. The gardener pleads for its light. He wants to hoe around it and manure. There we have a new name for Lent, the manure days. Manure days. People are always anxious to find some way to decorate their church. Wonderful way. Just let your imagination run wild with the smell and the symbolism of a manure day's Lent. In its beginning time, manure did not mean fertilizer. It meant tilling the soil. In 14th century England, that was the majority work of the majority of the people, was manuring, tilling the soil. And it was in America up until the beginning of this century. Lent calls us back to what our ancestors did. Let's get back to manure. And among its ancient meanings was to manage, too. You could manure your business. It meant managing, ministering. It meant to train and improve. Students were manured. But eventually all these wonderful meanings disappeared, and all we wound up with was first the actual manuring of a garden as an action, and then for the fertilizer itself. Let's return to the original meaning. Lent as manure days means days of improvement. To improve our prayer life, our love relationship with God, the honeymoon, and to improve our charity-justice. Charity should never be removed from justice. Charity, justice to the poor and needy. And old Lent had its harsh tools for improvement. There was belt-tightening fasting, and there was the whip of penance for soft flesh and its desires. and there was the rough, coarse, itchy clothing of sackcloth. Ho, boys and ho, girls, I propose that, along with the cross, we let the pilgrims need a new symbol. Now, I know this doesn't look very religious, just a Carmen garden hoe, but it would really tell us what the work of these days is about. Hoe is not to lean on, though there are a lot of workers who like to lean on. A hoe is to use in the garden of our soul. Hoes are the main tool of hobo migrant workers. If we are to improve our lives, that's more than our spiritual lives. This is the season to improve our marriages, our professions, whatever work it is that we do in our daily lives, and to do so with the idea that this isn't home. We're homeward bound. We're vagabonds. And as every gardener knows, good soil is essential both for gardens and for life. Not too wet, not too dry. Good soil is critical for marriages and friendships, both with one another and with God. Good soil has to be well fed. It has to be stirred and watered. That's where the hoe comes in. The hoe allows us to break the crust, allow the earth and our soul to breathe. It allows the spring moisture to enrich it. Hard crust, especially clay soil. Various soils get harder than others, but hard crust that forms over our relationships with each other and with God. And they're not different. We're not talking about different relationships. They are one and the same. The hard crust is habit. Doing the same things the same way. The hard crust prevents the soul and the earth from breathing. Hoeing was what the gardener in the parable proposed as a way to make the tree more fruitful. So, this morning, by the way, I was just thinking that might make a good crozier for a bishop. Come here to stir you folks up. Let's get back to the subject. What's the hard crust? It's killing the moisture and life in your marriage, your friendship. What's the hard crust that's formed over your profession that makes it a job? Makes it a job, not a profession. What routine is it? Repeat itself again and again, that crust over your loves and your lives. It destroys the sense of variety and romance. A hoe is also essential for weeding. You don't want to use a spade when you weed your garden because you'll kill the roots of the good plants. You get a dig around them with your hoe. Get rid of the small weeds. And the question is, did Eden have weeds? Well, if they did, I'm sure Adam and Eve called them wildflowers. And if they did have weeds, they didn't choke the good plants. Because weeds are the enemies of every garden. They choke to death the good plants, and they drink up all of the moisture, and they rob the plants of the nutrients of the soil and the sunlight. And weeds are weeds. Even if we call them wildflowers. Part of the self-deceit we practice on ourselves is to baptize our vices into virtues. Let's say, for example, the weed of lack of commitment. We call the wildflower of a free spirit. Let's take the weed of selfishness. We call it the wildflower of taking care of old number one. And the weed of the absence of prayer and worship in our life, we call liberation from religion. This past week, I was at a gathering, and a woman came up to me, and she said to me, "I don't belong to any organized religion. I'm an angel." I said, "Oh, I understand." I was curious, and I said, what do you mean when you say that you're an angel?" And she just giggled and shrugged her shoulders and went off to another conversation. Weeds are weeds. Be they wildflowers or weeds. And they choke marriages and friendships, and they choke our relationship with God. So let's look carefully at those weeds. The weeds of cynicism. Why vote? What good does it do? Why pray? What good does it do? Why do good to anybody? Why be a sucker? Cynicism is like bindweed. I don't know what bindweeds are, but they look like they're nice little low creeping plants, and they have little flowers on them. But eventually, they just kill all good plants. And they have deep roots, even though the little flowers are of intellectual brilliance. Because only intellectual people are cynical. But the most destructive weeds, the sequoias of the weeds, work. Those tall weeds that overshadow our loves and block out the sunlight and soak up all the moisture from the soil and cause friendships and love between one another and with God to die. There's no fun. There's no enjoyment. It's all work. It's critical, ask any gardener. Hoe out the weeds when they're little, or you'll have to use an axe on them when they're full grown. The hoe is also very good for spreading manure. That stinking manure of difficulties that can be used to fertilize our prayer and our life, because there's nothing like crap to make us run the other direction. That foul-smelling manure, daily life, the failures, the sicknesses, the pain. We try to avoid it at all cost. We don't like the smell of it. We don't like the sight of it. And manure comes in all shapes and sizes. There are about 1,000 varieties of it. But all of it, is crap. That's a Dutch word. It means scraps. It's a good Dutch word for excrement or fertilizer. You know, hobos had a custom of leaving marks on barns and fences, signals to other hobos following behind them. For example, if you were a hobo and you found this very crude chalk drawing on a fence, kind of two big circles with whiskers coming out of it, a cat, that meant generous woman. If you came along and you found this hobo sign on a barn, on a fence, or a garage, a large white triangle with three little triangles behind it, that meant tell a pitiful story. Tell a pitiful story and you'll get a handout. When it's harvest time, don't come crawling up to God pleading that your life's been filled with difficulties. Don't tell a pitiful story thinking you're going to get a handout, and the handout's going to be a free paradise. God is going to say to you, regardless of how bad was your childhood, how bad was your adolescence, how rotten was your marriage, God is going to say, "Did you use that pain? Did you use those failures and those mistakes? Did you use that to fertilize your garden, or did you run away from it and use it as an excuse not to have a rich harvest?" Another form of fertilizer is compost. Compost, people used to have compost piles in their backyards. It's garbage from the table and mixed with leaves and grass cuttings to make rich soil. Sometimes we have to let our problems rot. Sometimes we have to let our problems, the smelly garbage of life, set a while. But if we let it rot in the proper way, then it can become rich soil for us. Every good household chapel should have its contemplative compost pile. That means that we bring to our daily prayer the garbage of life, and we mix it up with our Hail Marys or our Fathers or our silent prayers to create compost. Ho boys and ho girls, take your hoe and use it, because to each of us God has given an acre, only 1 acre to garden. And when it's harvest time, God's not going to ask you if you made the world better, or if you improved the church, or if you reformed the church. God's not going to ask you that question. God's going to simply say, what did you do with your acre? We're challenged every Lent to look at our acre and to see it as exactly the same kind of ground that Moses stood on. Holy ground. Take off your shoes, kneel down in adoration, astonishment, and awe at your acre. Acre that you have been given. And embrace the challenge to make it fruitful, to be a good gardener. As we said, Lent has a warning. If we don't do whatever is necessary to make our little acre fruitful, a place of justice and of peace and integrity, of devotion and love and kindness. As in the parable of Matthew 21, God will take the acre away from us. And God will give the kingdom to somebody else who will make it fruitful. In conclusion, don't be so silly as to pretend to think that you have another life in the bank. Don't let the hard crust of routine and work kill your marriage, your prayer, your friendships, and your love for God. And work daily from sunrise to sunset like a migrant worker. Work daily to prevent having, and more importantly, from being a crop failure. Back in 1871, Charles Warner said, what one needs in gardening is a cast iron back with a hinge in it. That's a pretty good description of how you become a saint, too. Cast iron back to carry your cross with a hinge in it to kneel down and pray. So use the hoe of change and self-reform to get rid of the weeds, even if they look like wildflowers. Because soon, very soon, it's harvest time when the hoe boys and the hoe girls will rejoice in the good work of this life. The joy of Easter is just an appetizer of the great harvest festival, the great hoedown. A hoedown is an American expression for a dance, no ordinary dance, a very boisterous square dance. Hoedowns is another way to talk about laying down your hoe, your computer, your typewriter, your broom, whatever the tool is that you use in life. And when you lay it down, to begin the dance. God's going to look at the harvest of your one little acre in your garden, and God's going to say to you, well done. Well done, good and faithful gardener.